Good morning. Today is Tuesday, September the 7th. Joining us this morning, Mr. Bill McCauley. Good morning, sir.
Hey, Brian. How are you?
You notice that honorific
I heard,
sir?
I heard, yeah.
Yeah.
That was kind of weird.
Respect your elders, baby.
Yeah, that's right. Uh-huh. That's right. Well, I'm in the window.
All right. You ready for your question here?
I will give it a shot.
All right. Why do people say Roger to indicate that they understand? Other than in Airplane where they said Roger, Roger.
Over, over.
Yeah.
Yeah, Airplane. They took that to the perfect level, didn't they?
Yeah.
Roger. Gee, I don't know. I'm sorry.
In Morse code, the letter R was used to indicate understood. And when voice communications became popular, it kept this meaning. In voice system words, such as Abel, Baker, Charlie, you know, Airplane talk, mm-hmm. were assigned to letters to lessen the chance of misunderstanding. And Roger was the word assigned to the letter R. Therefore, Roger came to mean I understand. Not particularly complicated.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But it works.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. So what are you hearing out there about anything associated with impact to personal income taxes, these checks that keep showing up in people's bank accounts? Is there any discussion in that direction at all? Because we're not hearing too much. You know, everything is focusing in other directions, whether it's recalls or international stuff or, you know, things of that nature.
In our world, we see it and we find it kind of significant, but it probably isn't effervescing in a way that would make it something that lots of people are paying attention to right now. We are watching and kind of waiting to see what will happen on a number of fronts. When the Biden administration has talked about having doing some tax law changes. There's, of course, some humongous spending proposals that are in various
still
places,
percolating, yeah.
places of something. And so we don't really know how – we don't exactly know what's in all those to know how much of that's going to be tax law related. Inevitably, if there's a bill that spends a lot of money, there's probably going to be tax law ramifications that are contained in it. And so we don't know. There's a lot of things that the Biden administration has said they'd like to do. They'd like to increase capital gains rates on people whose incomes over certain thresholds. There's a series of things they've indicated that they think makes sense. From a policy standpoint, we don't know exactly where those things are folded, if they, in fact, are folded into some of this stuff, or if not. And so if there's going to be a separate tax law piece that gets proposed at some point. So there's a lot we don't know. There's been a lot that's been discussed. And we do know that there are some issues with things that will need to be addressed going forward, and you raised a great issue, which is the tax payment world. People are getting advanced child credits now, and that's going to create some interesting issues when those folks go to file their tax return. We also had a round of economic impact payments that were paid out in the end of December, early January. And then there was EIP 3. The third round was paid out later in the late spring. And so we're going to have some interesting things go on with regard to those payments and tracking them and people remembering whether they got them or not. We did run into some problems last year with clients saying, I didn't get it. I absolutely didn't get it. We didn't really have a good means of being able to verify that one way or the other. And then we went ahead and claimed it in the tax return. And then we found out later in some cases that indeed it had been claimed. For the most part, I tried to be pretty careful about that. If it was clear to me based upon, You know, you could look at the prior year tax return and say, okay, this is what somebody should have received. And so when somebody said they didn't get anything, that was interesting. Or if they said they got an amount that was significantly different than what we were calculating, that was interesting. So we're going to get to do that again next year.
That's what I was saying. So the experiences of this past cycle, do they come forward into this one, or will there not be enough in common so that what was learned isn't necessarily transferable?
It'll come forward. I think we're going to have there'll be old lessons that we hopefully have learned. The challenge is we just don't have a great system for paid preparers to get information to confirm things. So then we end up filing a tax return that has information that was incomplete or incorrect that we received from our client. And it would be a lot nicer if there was a system that would allow us to confirm some of that stuff to ensure that the IRS didn't have to send out correspondence and we didn't have to help our clients respond to that, because we'd have better information. That been said, information is at such a premium in our world right now. You think of all the different parties that are out there trying to extract information that they can misuse. So that causes people to be pretty probative and thoughtful when it comes to what information are we going to make generally available, or what's going to take for somebody to get that information. So it's an interesting time for us, just because things are different and we're learning to kind of
bob and
wend our way. You know, every year, Brian, I've been saying for the last few years, oh, it'll be better this year than it was last year. I've given that up. And really, 2020 tax returns we did in 2021, that was a nightmare. That was a nightmarish tax season. I've not talked to anybody who found it easy or easier. Everybody I've spoken to in this profession found it harder and miserable. And I'm just afraid we're going to be, that's the new normal.
Back in the pool again.
Yeah, we're going to be it'll be just difficult. And, you know, there's lots of reasons why I think that maybe is more likely. And I really hope I'm wrong. I'd love to have it to have things not be so challenging.
Well, I would suspect with the election year cycle coming up, there might be a little attention paid, particularly for those states that have the early elections like we do. But there will be some sensitivity to some of the things that happened or didn't happen from the federal level.
Yeah, maybe. It's...
maybe it's a good word.
I have no idea. I mean, I learned the longer I'm at it, the less...
The less you know.
The less I really know.
Yeah. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with CPA Bill McCauley. Billy, on the income for the individuals, okay, now those are supposed to run through the end of September? Or are you hearing that those are going to get bumped again?
So we're talking about the unemployment?
Yeah.
The $300 a week of unemployment.
Right.
At this point, to my knowledge, they're scheduled to end in September. I think that 12th or something? Anyway, there's a date in September.
Oh, okay, so maybe even next week.
There's a date in September, and I believe it is not the end of the month, that the $300 per week bonus, if you will, for lack of a better term, bonus unemployment compensation, is scheduled to cease. And so that's going to be an interesting thing, given the fact that what we see going around town and interacting with others is
help, 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 help.
A particularly significant need for people. And
well, and the funny thing is that it's national. It's not just Humboldt County. Yeah. It's not just California. Right. It's across the board, everywhere USA. So you would think if there was an interest in stimulating the economy and getting things going and back up on it, I guess maybe balancing things out, but that would be seen as one of those really easy to recognize issues and to get people up and going again.
Yeah. Well, as you know, my wife and I have a second place we go to up in the Medford area, and so we go back and forth a lot. And clearly, the same situations are occurring there in terms of staffing, and that becomes really difficult. And you see things that can't happen that should, and that's hard.
Now, with some of the payroll allowances, taxes, programs to encourage things of that nature for business operators, I would think that there would be some kind of a recognition that, okay, if you have increased payroll costs, not numbers of employees being the same, but your payroll costs, is that a reference point that's being used at all, or is it just bodies coming through the front door that are working in the back end of the store?
Well, it kind of depends on which provision of law you're looking at in terms of what kind of incentives are out there. Some employers are getting incentives for hiring that economic or the ETC, the employer tax credit, is out there, and that has been particularly helpful for a number of our clients. If they qualify, in order to qualify to be able to continue in that program, you generally have to have been eligible for a second round of PPP. And so that goes back to us to a 25% reduction in one of the calendar quarters last year, or a 25% year-over-year decrease. And there's some other elements to that. And candidly, I know enough of that about the nuts and bolts to be dangerous. We have folks in our office who are much more up to speed on the payroll tax implication. But some of that is a little problematic, too, because the IRS keeps changing the guidance that's out there. And we had that recently where the IRS came out and issued some really conflicting, and I won't go into it because it's convoluted, some conflicting guidance about who's a related party for purposes of payroll for who can qualify for employer tax credit. And it's really strange. You know, the employer can actually be a not related party if they don't have any kids or brothers and sisters. It's, you know, and yet somebody who has kids, anyway, it's, I don't even, I read it, shook my head. We all looked, we spoke with one another. We all did a collective head shake, and we're hoping that we get some cleaner guidance that comes from the IRS, because this is a little bordering on nonsensical.
Now, one of the things that is intriguing for me is, what is the base reference year? For this year, it's continued to be 2019 or pre-COVID, I guess. Is there any thoughts that it's going to stay there, or are they going to use 2020? So now you have your dip, and now you have to have a double dip. Any verbiage at that?
No,
in that direction.
At this point, if you look at what passed in the Senate for the that last $1 trillion spending bill, that their $1.5 trillion spending bill that they passed, that would actually end the employer tax credit a month or a quarter early. Again, it hasn't passed. And, you know, why would we need to know that? It's only September, right?
Yeah, we're only two-thirds of the way. You know.
Yeah, why would we need to know that in September? Anyway, kind of interesting that what we know and what we don't know. And some stuff's coming out now, and, you know, there may be information that came out this weekend that I'm not fully up to speed with. But the point is, all this stuff is really churning out there. And it makes it really hard for people, because it's been one constant, you know, catching up. Well, what we've proven is government doesn't always do a great job, and when government's in a hurry, they pretty much it's really challenged. You know, I'm guessing we could take the same thing and extrapolate that to our businesses too. I mean, so I don't mean to act as though it's solely the province of government, but I think we've seen that government has had some issues kind of addressing this and being able to do that in a way that's coherent and certainly that's timely. So unfortunately, you'll look at something and say, oh, I think I'm going to qualify for it, then later you'll find out, well, I guess I don't. And it
hopefully you're not predicating too much on that outcome.
It isn't intuitive.
KINS, isn't that a game? Intuitive?
I don't know.
It seems to be.
Really?
It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36 on this Tuesday, first Tuesday in September. Labor Day is one of those demarcation points for a lot of us. Growing up, it was summer, going back to school. Okay, now it means that we're going to start to see some changes and kind of getting ready for the holidays. What kind of sense do you have about the challenges that businesses are facing at this point, whether it is surprise decisions and actions made from the state and federals, or just kind of the normal business cycles that haven't been normal for a really long time?
Well, I think supply chain issues continue to pop up their heads in funny places. And so, we have clients who have trying to operate a business, and yet they've got a few holes in their supply chain. So they're trying to do X, but they need some pieces to be able to make that work. Whether it's a construction contractor who doesn't have everything they need, or whomever it is. I mean, you talk to electrical contractors, you talk to plumbers, and they're all needing things they can't get their hands on. In addition to dealing with the labor issues. Yeah. And so you're trying to keep all your staff employed. You know, if you're a electrical contractor or whatever, and you've got people out there running around with your trucks going from place to place, and yet they get to places and they can't finish because they don't have what
no,
they need.
Not enough Romex. Okay, you're kind of in trouble. Yeah.
So it's, I think, one of the big challenges beyond the obvious, which is how do we find enough people to open our businesses, for the time frames that one would expect. I think that those two things are probably some of the bigger challenges that are out there. And then, of course, keeping up with things. But I thought it was interesting. We were in Oregon yesterday, and we were going to order pizza from Kaleidoscope, which is kind of a cool pizza place up there. We like it. And they're closed on Sundays.
Seen that at a couple of places. Heard a great line. It was about a week ago at some restaurant in Chicago. Right? Buddy was grand baby sitting for the weekend. And they went in and said, sorry for the delay. We'll get to you as quick as we can. If that's something that is a little bit more than what you want to be able to experience, applications are available at the counter.
Yeah.
It's a, can't find workers, closed on Sunday. And there's a number of guys in the neighborhood that are they're just in that situation.
I'm thinking of that business, and it's a bang up business. They're crazy busy all the time. And
cool fun place, and
they can't get open for one day a week. And and granted, they appear to be open Monday through Saturday, but I'm guessing Sunday was a good day for them. And so anyway.
Well, and that's one of the things. How do you determine a recommendation about what day to close down. If I'm a restaurant, unless the numbers are really goofy or you're in a kind of a unique situation, I would think like a Tuesday or Wednesday is going to be typically a lot less active than a Sunday, particularly in that niche, rolling into the NFL season. Well, you got Sunday, you got Sunday night, you got Monday, you know, I would think a midweek would be more logical.
And I don't know, I can't speak for them and the decisions they're making. They're also, you know, if they're short-staffed and they got people who don't want to work on Sunday, that might be, you might be in a corner. You might be in a corner where you're saying, we're going to have to pick Sunday because we can keep more people or we can attract more people if they don't have, I mean, I don't know. I'm just conjecturing.
But that's a thought. Certainly for
consideration. Yeah, I mean, I would agree with you. Probably the logically, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is probably an easier, you know, that's historically been more likely to be a day a restaurant had been closed. But I'd argue Kaleidoscope probably, they were open
if they're
slammed 7 days a week, you know, But they've also closed down, they opened up a takeout operation that's contiguous to their restaurant there in Medford, and they've closed it.
Really?
Yeah.
Now,
so
that
so all the takeouts going through the main
restaurant. The front door.
Yeah. So anyway, which was interesting because the takeout through COVID was kind of neat. You'd call and you'd pull up and you'd tell them, and then you'd text them you're in parking space such and such, and this was your order number, and they'd bring your food out to you. So
yeah, that would seem to be a more efficient way. Do you sense that there's going to be a more of a push towards whether it's AI or automation of any sort in a number of businesses that in the past have been resistant to it, if you can find the computer chips?
I don't know. I mean, I think that some of those things, like going to a pizza parlor, there's kind of a thing about that. I mean, that's kind of a thing to do, right? You go to the pizza parlor and you can have a big table and you can get a pitcher of soda pop or whatever you want to drink and you can have the pizza. And
but salad bars have disappeared.
Yeah. Well, that's true. And that's one of the things
that I really miss and look forward to is going to a pizza joint and having the salad. It's not a fancy salad. It's a real basic salad. But I could get my Thousand Island there.
Yeah, your wife won't let you have otherwise.
Yeah, you're right. A couple pepperoncinis and life is good.
Angie's forbidden list.
Yeah. So it would seem that there have just been a lot of changes, and whether the customer has to adapt or the business has to make some adjustments just to kind of keep things rolling.
In answer to your question, I think all of our businesses are going to change a little bit. At least, and some of us might change a lot. I mean, we last quote unquote tax season, which theoretically ran from February 1 or thereabouts to April 15th, but then kind of got pushed out a little bit.
May, June, July. Yeah,
yeah. But we just didn't have, because of where we were with COVID, we just didn't have very many face to face situations. When we did, it was masked. And, you know, I'll be interested to see next year, meaning, you know, in 2021 when we're doing the 2022 when we're doing the 2021 returns, you know, how many people have just said, I'm not going to do that. I don't know. I don't know what to expect.
Or what investments have been made in hardware to accommodate things opening a drive-thru, for example.
And some of those things, some of those investments might be interesting too, because, you know, it depends on what studies you read. You know, you like the plexiglass, you know, there's some studies that would indicate being in a plexiglass might not be better because it may keep what's in the air closer. And anyway, so there's some really interesting questions, which I am not trying to believe me. I do not wish to be blistered by anybody on any side of the argument. So I get that there's going to be different ways, and it's going to take us a long time to really sort through all the science and all the data and get away. This thing was so political,
still changing.
That backing out of that is going to take a long time before we really have, you know, kind of clean science to look
consensus
at.
Even.
Yeah.
KINS.
Good luck with that.
News information time. It's 8:42.
Hey, folks. Flying local is buying local. And with three airlines serving five destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly an American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill McCauley. Supply issues, you know, resources, things of that nature. Are you seeing and hearing from your business buddies that there's more creativity in trying to find product also rather than going to the traditional supply houses or the vendors that they've gone with for years? Maybe it's not quite the same thing, but you know what? Most applications, this will do just fine.
Well, I think people have had to adapt, and I think the people in the supply chain are trying to adapt. So, I mean, if you're, you know, I saw the local office supply company dropping stuff off here. They come to our office, too. And they've had to, in some cases, stuff hasn't been available that we've needed, and they've had, you know, we've had to wait a little longer. Or, you know, you also, what you don't want to see is like what you get with a run on toilet paper and people start buying, you know, people start hoarding it, which,
yeah,
which
the emotional,
just, which just yeah. exacerbates a problem. It's, you know, see, you just hope we can all be rational and say, I'm not going to.
Have you been driving lately?
You know, Brian, I mean, I thought about this whole toilet paper thing, and I was really so disappointed in...
Not frustrated? Disappointed?
I just was...
I found it comical. And then I got a little teed off because it didn't matter if you needed it. It was just like,
yeah,
you know, buy, just because buy. But what really got me was then the people trying to return it.
Yeah.
It's like, come on. Really?
Yeah. No, you now have a 7-year supply. Enjoy it.
Yes.
I don't know. I just found that, you know, Cynthia and I were, during one of this runs on toilet paper, we were at Murphy's, and we went in, and I walked by, and there was one roll, there was one package of toilet paper, and I said, Cynthia, I go, do we need it? She goes, no. So I go, well, somebody else is going to need it, you know, and so I just walked away from it, and, you know, I think they probably had some more in back, and they probably were parceling it out, which is good, you know, I mean, if you put 40 of them out there, somebody might come and take, you know, 5 of them instead of 1. But anyway, I just didn't think it showed our better nature as people. I think it was a disappointment when it's like, I'm going to take care of myself. And I, you know, I'm going to get more than I need to make sure I am fine.
It's unsettling.
One thing when you go to Costco and you buy a package and they're giant, right? Okay, fine. You're not going to break that up into subparts. But if you buy 3 of them,
then you got your own little castle that you're pushing it out.
Whatever.
In the
you know,
yeah.
I shouldn't even gone down this rabbit trail. But
no, but it was.
I just found it disappointing. I just think we're better than that. We should be. We should care more about doing what. We should just care more about doing the right thing instead of doing what's best for me.
So what indications are you using, or canaries, if you will, in the mine shaft that says, okay, I've got to start paying attention here for my clients, that there's something a little goofy going on here? Is it purely going to be legislative activity or lack thereof that's going to be really that point of sensitivity for you?
Well, I think that it's hard to say because everything changes so fast. I mean, that's the problem with this, with what we found with COVID, is what you know today is not what we're being, you know, what's being communicated the next day. And so all the inconsistency, I think, has added up to a level of distrust, a level of, you know, I'm going to pick where I get my information, and I'm going to believe this, and this other person's going to pick where they get their information over here, and they're going to believe that, instead of just kind of looking and doing, you know, I think sometimes some common sense would have trumped the information. I don't mean that politically. I mean, would have overwritten the inclination of us to turn around and just have to believe this or that. I think sometimes we need to take a breath and say, does this make sense? Am I really, is this a sensible situation, or am I really embracing something that isn't very sensible based on, you know, just your common sense that, that, you know,
I still love,
hopefully we're all graced with.
Kind of hit me with that one at the end, huh?
You're welcome.
I just love the phrase. Neil Bortz was the first one, sheeple. What thought process? No, I'm going to follow you. You're going to follow them, and so on and so on. So, yeah, a little breath, a little poking out every once in a while and making sure everything's okay.
Right on.
All right, bud. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you. It is my pleasure.
See everybody tomorrow.